Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. We'll talk through the sermon topic and pause a few times to hear directly from the Word of God. Our goal is to help you connect with the Bible and find hope and guidance for your life. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and I'm here with Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Campus Pastor Mark Wyatt. We're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting and a sermon series exploring our union with Christ. Today, we're looking at some verses from Romans and Colossians where Paul makes a startling claim. We are participants in Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and glorification. This is a reality that baptism depicts, and we'll talk about how. All right, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And guys, I'm very sad to announce that while Mark is back, and we are very grateful.
We're happy about that. We're not sad about that.
We're very happy about that.
Thanks a lot, Lisa.
But we still can't. I want the team back together. I want us all here. But poor Jaime, he could not be here today. He had some other things he had to take care of. So it's just the three of us.
And honestly, We've prayed for Jaime. He's got a pastoral emergency with someone in need. And man, he's just such a great pastor to go.
Really
he's
is.
Going and caring for people is what he's doing.
That's right. Yes. Jaime is a busy guy. He is always out there serving and giving and doing. And so our prayers are with him as he helps this family. But we are here to talk a little bit about our upcoming sermon. We're in a sermon series for our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And our sermon series is on union with Christ. So, Bruce, why don't you give people a little update of where we are in our series?
Yeah, we're really excited about moving into it. We want to experience Christ. And the theological phrase is union with Christ. And we've looked the first week at dwelling in a temple, that Christ dwells in us like God dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple. Then the next week, we looked at how we dwell in Christ, that like a branch in a vine, so we are organically connected to Jesus Christ and his life flows into us and we bear fruit for him, both our character and reproducing disciples. And now this week, we're moving into a new image. All these are different ways of looking into the same reality of union with Christ. This one is baptism. And in baptism, the scripture says we're united with Christ in his death and resurrection, in going under the water and coming back out.
And as we've discussed, this is not just a picture. It's not just a metaphor. It is and it isn't, right? It's deeper than that because in Romans 6, Paul really emphasizes, he doesn't use language like it's, he doesn't use simile language. He doesn't say it's like or as if. He says we are buried with Christ in his and raised with him in his resurrection. And so, Bruce, give us a little bit of insight into that Greek word.
Yeah, Paul does something very unusual. He uses a prefix that in English should be S-Y-N, like synthesis or symbiotic or synthetic, which means united together, like combined. You're combining chemicals or living things that are participating together in a new life force of some kind, a new entity. And so he takes that prefix, S-Y-N, and adds it to words like crucified and buried and resurrected and alive. So in our English translations, the best we can do is say crucified with Christ. But it actually is a little closer connection than that. It is sin crucified and sin buried and sin raised, meaning together like synthetic or symbiotic. So there is this union, this participating is probably the word that most scholars would use, is that we are participating in Christ's death and in his resurrection. And one day we will amazingly participate in his glory to come.
Yeah. And that's mind-blowing. Because whereas we looked at the vine and the branch and we talked about the temple, and those were pictures that we could picture of our union with Christ. But this feels like something a little deeper, this participation, this sharing. That's something we can't, like you were saying earlier, Bruce, we can't really delve the depths of. But it's something, it's a reality that we need to then live into. Romans 6, 2 through 10. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So what do you think, Mark? What is your read on this?
I think it's, as Bruce was talking about, just the way the Apostle Paul, this is original to him in the way that he is communicating this. But it's communicating something really profoundly deep that I really can't wrap my head around. This is something that's true of us. We need to live into it. And I think for me, as I look at the Apostle Paul's life, this is something he's not preaching or peddling unapplied truth in his life. I believe he's experienced this. I mean, he's writing the New Testament. And then, Romans 6 is there. But I just think about him experiencing this in his own life. He was an extremely religious man. Mm-hmm. But yet, in a way, he was spiritually dead until he came to meet Christ. And that just really comes to, I think these things are an expression of his stuff as his own experience in his own life.
Bruce, as you're sort of laying this out, the initial image that we have here is of crucifixion. Of the reality that we have been buried with Christ and therefore we are united with him in his death. And what does that mean for how we should live?
What Paul does is he says we need to count ourselves or consider ourselves dead to sin. Mm. That we are dead to sin. The power of sin has been broken. And it's like if you were under certain laws, under certain rules, and then you leave that organization the rules are part of, they no longer apply, but you can sometimes think they do, mm-hmm. act as if they do, mm-hmm. when they don't really apply. And so Christians are freer from sin than we realize.
Yeah.
The power of sin has actually been broken, and it's the devil who tries to convince us, no, you can't, you have to sin. And it's no, actually, we have power not to sin. Now, I don't mean be perfect, but maybe a whole lot more power than we've realized or recognized. So then Paul goes on to say that we're to put sin to death. So there's the indicative or the reality is that we have died to sin on the cross. We've crucified it mm-hmm. with Christ. And now because of that reality, we are to put sin to death. We are to crucify the flesh, to be dead to sin and the flesh and the world in our lives.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this is right in the middle of Romans, and what Paul has laid out here is he really, in Romans, discusses sin as a power. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just talk about it in terms, I mean, he does in other places, and he certainly implies this and means this, that it is individual actions that are contrary right. to God's will. But beyond that, he seems to treat sin as an entity, something that's bigger than that. And right. if you think about it, you know, when we collectively sin, when each of us sin, we create environments where sin can thrive mm-hmm. and can continue to grow and become more and more powerful. And that's where I think you see sin having such a hold on people, because it's not just a hold on your individual self. It becomes a part of your environment. Mm-hmm. And so it can feel like sin has power over you. But what Paul is saying here is it doesn't. You need to recognize that you live in a new reality. You live in a different, you can live differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of us walk around feeling defeated by sin, and we don't have to.
That's right.
We don't have to. So he talks a little bit about how we've been
we've been buried with Christ. We have been crucified.
I think burial is a fascinating idea that I haven't thought that much about, but he, you know, literally Christ is put into a tomb after he's killed and a big stone's rolled around it. And I was thinking about some of my experiences with death, with people. And while it's incredibly difficult, how healing it is, how important it is, especially if someone's death was sudden, to have the funeral, to go to the graveside, to go through the ceremony and see the coffin and the grave. And there's a realizing my person has really died. And it's first off, we're in denial, which is, I think, a protection for us. But somehow the burial brings the reality of that person's death to our emotions, to our soul. And we go home realizing they're really gone. And that's incredibly sad, but it also begins the healing process of moving forward in a new life without that person on earth. And so I'm wondering if this imagery of burial helps us with sin to realize, no, the power of sin really is dead. It's buried. It's like we're to take our sins, so to speak, and bury our sins. That they're not here, they're gone. And then to live that way, to live in freedom.
You don't have to be dominated by this, whatever it may be in your life.
Well, and I think that speaks to this, like you're dividing us into this threefold, that there's crucifixion, there's burial, and there's resurrection, and there's glorification. So I guess that was fourfold. I just listened.
But I think to keep it simpler,
yeah,
it's probably easier, guys, just to think about crucifixion, resurrection, glorification.
Yeah,
kind of because the burial really is part of crucifixion and death.
Colossians 3:1-4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
The resurrection power is new life. It is that idea of, like you were saying, Bruce, going under the water, dying, and our sins dying under that water, drowning in that water. And then, but we are raised without the sin clinging to us anymore. We're washed clean, we're purified in Christ so that we can live this new empowered life that is different from the way we used to live or the way that the world works. And that's a amazing reality that I don't think we appreciate all the time. I don't.
No.
So what do you think it would mean for us to really embrace that reality, Mark?
That's a new trajectory for life. I like to think about it this way. It's not perfection, but it is direction. In other words, I think what fundamentally what this death and new life is that you, in some sense, that we come alive to God, that there is a sense that this being has cared about us, loves us in the midst of everything, knowing everything about us. And so we realizing that you're bankrupt before God, but he cares about you. And he loves you in that midst, that your old life is dead, that your life is centered around the self and around this greater thing that's there. And so I think that it's a new trajectory to life.
It's a new life. I think too many of us are scared to put to death our sins. We mourn. We almost mourn the loss of them. But I think the pictures Paul is painting here is, no, you're a slave. You think you're indulging, you think you're free to indulge yourself and to live however you want to live and do whatever you want to do. But no, you think you're free, but you're a slave. And so like what Bruce, you were saying earlier is, no, the freedom comes when you actually accept the death and put to death.
Because historically, many people who are freed from slavery struggled not to continue to act as if they were slaves. Now there were forces that were bigger than them that made that hard.
Well, our prisoners. You think of prisoners released from jail.
It's hard to live like a free person. You still have that imprisoned mentality, that jail mentality to break free of. Another part of living raised or being united to Christ's resurrection is forgiveness.
Mm.
And so Paul in Colossians talks about that we're forgiven all of our sins. So prior to being united to Christ, participating in his resurrection, we live in guilt.
Mm.
We live in unforgiveness. We are spiritually dead. Now we're spiritually alive, totally forgiven from all our sins. So we're to live into the grace of forgiveness and the freedom of knowing that we're utterly and completely forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which also enables us to forgive others.
Right.
Because we recognize the grace we've been given, which allows us to then give grace to others,
mm-hmm.
Instead of exacting our own revenge on people. Mm-hmm. We know God, we recognize God is the God of justice, and he's going to set all things right.
Right.
And so therefore we can let go of right. those sins committed against us and forgive them. Romans 8:16-18. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay, what about this piece about glorification? Because that, it's, you know, we have a tangible idea of sort of going under and coming up and death and resurrection, mm-hmm. but glorification is just a word that sounds kind of mystical. So how would you explain that?
So the word glory has two meanings. The Greek word is doxa, like doxology.
Mm-hmm.
And one word, one meaning is splendid. It's mm-hmm. it's shining, it's bright, it's glowing. And so it's God's splendor, his majesty, his greatness in manifest physically, like the bright shining glory, bright shining greatness, majesty, magnificence of God. The second meaning is honor. And we know that in our English words, that someone who gets glory gets honor.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you win a prize, you win an award, the Olympics are about to come, and if you win the gold medal or silver or bronze, you stand up on a platform and they play a song, and your country song,
mm-hmm.
and there's honor that you get, and the medal's mm-hmm. draped around you. And so to share in God's glory is both. It's to share in his honor. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. And we will share in his rule and his reign and his honor.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
It's just overwhelming. And we will share in this splendor as well, because there will be pure light. There will be no need for the sun in the new creation because of the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ. And we'll be part of that. We'll be part of this new creation and share in his glory, which is just almost feels sacrilegious, like, wait a minute, he's supposed to have all the glory. We're not supposed to share. Like, you know, you're not supposed to steal someone's glory, steal
right?
their honor. But God invites us as his children, as those united in Christ, to share in his glory, which yeah. will be just outrageous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth noting, though, Romans 8:17 says that we are co-heirs with Christ. And there's that word again, the with, that the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed we share in his sufferings. And I think a lot of times we want to skip over that part of
That's
the verse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to get to the glory part.
But, because these days, uh-huh. When we say we're crucified with Christ, he took up his cross. We're supposed to take up our cross and live cruciform lives where we lose our lives. And so there is something in the scripture that this uniting with Christ in his death is dying to this world, which also can be painful.
Yeah.
And have a cost to it. There is, frankly, we suffer in this world. And many, many Christians have literally given their lives
yes.
for Christ as martyrs. But there is a suffering today, a cruciform, a cross-like, crucified-like existence in this world of opposition and devil, you know, demons running around. But we're co-heirs with Christ.
Yes.
And our victory is absolutely sure. We have total confidence. We're living forever. We're raised to new life, and we will share in God's glory.
Amen. I'm ready for that. But I'm thinking too, how powerful it would be if we actually lived out these truths, the truth mm-hmm. that's represented by baptism. Not only we would be free from our sin, right, and recognize the new life we have in Christ and look forward to that fully experiencing our salvation, but how it would change our relationships with other people. Because I think if you accept suffering with Christ, right, you're less apt to be worried about defending your own rights mm-hmm. and asserting your own will mm-hmm. and making sure, I mean, it's just easier to recognize I'm going to have to sacrifice some things that I want, that I need, and not that we become doormats or codependent or anything unhealthy like that, but just that I don't have to always get everything. I don't have to fight so hard and strive so hard to get what I think I deserve or need or whatever. I can recognize that all that's going to come.
Right. No, it's not all wrapped up in this life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the paychecks later for you. And then my thought, you know, this death comes so that you might live.
Yeah.
To something far greater, you know, and you think about you're following a Jesus, right? And there, and that will cost you in this life, but you're really not giving up. You're gaining the greatest thing.
Right.
I mean, you're this eternal honor that God shares with you is quite, you look at it that way. And then this stuff is not compared to that.
Yeah.
So Paul says in Romans 8:18, the very next verse, mm-hmm. that the sufferings of this present life are not worth comparing with the glory to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I can sacrifice something now for someone else, and because, you know, we talk about sacrificing for Christ in sort of an abstract sense, mm-hmm. but like, what does that really mean? That means, you know, I may, you know, like Pastor Jaime, who's now having to put aside what he had planned for his afternoon right. because someone needs him. Mm-hmm. And it's a sacrifice that he's making, and it's an emotion. It's not just a time, it's emotional toll. It's all right. the things that go along with being with someone in their suffering. But that's a sacrifice that is sacrifice. That's like Christ. Christ is with us. Mm-hmm. So that's incredible. Yeah. This is just such a rich and deep truth that I don't know that we can fully understand, but wow, if we could get closer, we could recognize it a little more fully, a little more deeply, if God would reveal that to us, it really would change everything mm-hmm. about our perspective on life. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about baptism a little bit. We're going to have baptisms this Sunday. We already have some scheduled, but there's something else going on here at
yes,
McKinney.
Yes, in McKinney, we're going to do on-the-spot baptism. Spontaneous is that we're going to give people the opportunity to be baptized right then and there. So we have some people scheduled. And then in the services, we'll say, look, if you'd like to come forward and be baptized now, if you've trusted in Christ, you can. We have dark clothes from Walmart and towels and everything you need. And there's a pastor you can talk to be sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
But we want to give people the opportunity to get baptized this Sunday and also Sunday night during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then we're going to open up for baptism again on the last night, the 21st night of 21 days of prayer and fasting on January 30th. Mm-hmm. So this is a great time to really think about your baptism.
Yeah.
Remember your baptism if you were baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, really consider being baptized this Sunday or the next Sunday. And if you've been baptized a long time ago, maybe as a kid, and you think, I don't know if I knew what I was doing, I'm not sure. People ask me, can I be baptized again? Well, of course. And in fact, I recommend it.
It may be more meaningful now.
Yeah, if you're baptized as a baby, you know, it's someone else's choice, or you're baptized as a little kid, we're not sure. Maybe it's peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Or even as a teenager, maybe it's peer pressure in a student ministry of some kind. But now you're an adult. You know what you're doing. You are committing your life to Christ. Yeah, being baptized is a tremendous way of expressing that you are united to Christ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a physical act, and we need those. Right. So much of things, it shouldn't just exist in our head. We need to make them physical and real.
Right.
And getting baptized and actually experiencing that not only declares it for other people that, hey, I'm following Jesus. This is what I want. This is how I mm-hmm. want to live my life. But it's also saying, you know, I'm experiencing that, this a tiny glimpse of what Paul is talking about in these passages. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about 21 days. we're now about almost halfway through, mm-hmm. and it's been great.
Yeah, it's been just great, and different than other years. We've opened up to pray in the mornings at 7, mm-hmm. and there's been quite a faithful crew.
Yeah.
Small.
Yes.
People there at 7, and then new people every day who've not been there before at 7, nearly every day.
I have not been there at 7.
That's all right. but, man, some great times of prayer. But also, maybe what I've enjoyed the most is spreading out the leadership, where it's not just, in years past, it was just me and Jaime pretty much leading, and then musically, Will and Crystal and Jason. But this year, Lisa, you've been involved.
I have.
Leading, and it's been awesome. Lisa. You and Lou did a fantastic job. And Belinda?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's been really good. And I love what you said the other day, Bruce, about how when you step into this kind of leadership, it's going to grow you and probably bless you more than you didn't mm-hmm. say this part. This is me adding on. You're going to probably be blessed more than you bless other people. And I certainly feel that way about the preparation for these 21 days. And just getting to work with Lou and Belinda has just been really great, really a blessing.
And one of the things I appreciate is you have been teaching people more than just experiencing Christ, but how to pray with the Acts model or how to read scripture in a fresh way. And I think that's great. And frankly, our leadership's expanded beyond our staff. Mark and Shelley Nelson, leaders at our church who are not on staff, have led some of the morning prayers and led a whole day. They led Saturday for the 6 hours in a great way. And I think it's just great to see the people of our church step up and use their gifts and abilities for Christ.
Yeah, and Jason last night really mm-hmm. challenged us to be more, that praise is not something you can do just standing still or sitting down.
Right.
Praise is an action. Mm-hmm. It's an activity. So it's really great to hear those different perspectives. And each night's a little different, which I know works for me.
mm-hmm. I think that the bilingual also is incredibly powerful. We're one church, two languages.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And to live that out, we're able to live that out in the 21 days in a way we don't on a normal Sunday.
Yeah.
And so to have English and Spanish singing and translations and testimonies,
like I'm learning some Spanish.
I know. I think I'm picking up a little here and
just
there.
Just a little. Right. Like some of the songs, I'm like, oh, I know what that word means now. No, and it's so great. Our Spanish congregation, just to have them come up and share their testimonies, because these are, if you're an English speaker only, you may not cross paths with many of these people, and they come up to the microphone and share from their heart and their testimony and it's translated. And what a blessing to hear that. And just to hear how God is moving in people's lives, which we have invited him to do. That's what we want. And so we will have continued for the next week and a half. Mm-hmm. We will continue to have morning prayer at 7, evening prayer at 7. And we have 4 more days of prayer, if you're interested. And I know we talked about this last week, that that's scary to a lot of people. They think, what on earth am I going to do for 6 hours? Are we going to sit in a circle and look at each other? And no. So Bruce, tell people a little bit about the 6 hour.
Yeah, this is time for you to engage God. So we encourage you to bring a journal, bring your water. And if you want to eat, bring a snack. And this is time where we're reading the word, you're praying, we're talking with each other. And what we've done is had some time where we're all together, then some time where you take some time just with God by yourself. You can go anywhere in the church building. You can go outside if it's the weather's
it's not
okay.
30 degrees.
On the picnic tables, and there's a prayer garden we have out there you may or may not have ever seen. Anyway, so it's an engaging experience all throughout the 6 hours. And then we share, what did we all learn together? And last Friday and Saturday, I was there for the end of each day, for each day. And boy, to hear person after person say, I was scared. I've never done this before. It was so powerful, and God spoke to me, and the time kind of flew by. I was so surprised that it's 6 hours and it's already over. And so my encouragement is, give it a try. Trying something new is always scary.
Yeah.
But this is a you and God for 6 hours. How can that go wrong? it can only be good for you.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to lead this Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see some people there with me.
10 to 4.
I'm excited. I've got some things planned. And Susan Allen is going to do Friday. So it's fun that different people in our church are stepping up and doing these things and leading these things. And I think that's a blessing to everyone. So we just invite you to participate. However, we're giving you a menu of options. And we would love for you to come and participate. And in your own life, I mean, the most important thing is that you are taking during this 21 days time with God, extended time with God, maybe beyond what you usually do, and maybe pick something to fast from. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't started, that's okay.
You can start right now.
You can start today. Mm-hmm. And so I am excited to see what God does for the rest of our time together. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, thank you so much. I'm glad we were able to get together, at least the three of us, and keep moving along. Thank you, Lisa. And Mark, would you close us in prayer?
I sure will. Lord, we thank you that union with you is where we find life. And we, Lord, we need your grace, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for these ways that it's communicated that really, in a sense, it's mind-blowing to us that we even get to share in your glory. Our old life's passed away, and raised to a new life because you've been merciful to us, and then there's glory to be revealed. Lord, we pray for everybody that's involved with the 21 days that you would bless everybody exceedingly. We do pray for Pastor Jaime today as he's ministering to others. God, you just work in a way that is great and builds your kingdom. And God, we pray for your grace through the rest of 21 days, and thanks for all the things that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.